السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. صدق الله، صدق الله العظيم. Inshallah, tonight we'll be talking a little bit about one of the greatest persons that the Ummah has ever came across. And up to this day, when you take, you know, Umar radiallahu anhu's name, you know, it creates a type of image in your head. Even though we haven't seen him, but whatever little that we know about him, you know, it really has some type of effect on us. Because his personality was such that he was a person that naturally people loved, but at the same time they feared. This was his personality. That they loved Umar radiallahu anhu, but at the same time they feared Umar radiallahu anhu. And this was his nature even before accepting Islam. Even before him embracing the faith, this was his nature. And obviously nature is something that you cannot change. Right? That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentions in one hadith, كُلُّ مَوْلُودٍ يُولَدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ, that every single person, every single child, every offspring of Adam alayhi salam is born on a natural fitrah, natural instinct. There are certain qualities that Allah instills within a person, and He gives some to some, and He gives some to some others. But not everyone has the same type of qualities. Now if you just take, you know, for example, Umar radiallahu anhu, and you take Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, yes, you'll find a lot of similarities. You'll find a lot of similarities, but you'll find at the same time a lot of differences, right? And one of the major difference between Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Umar radiallahu anhu was the nature that they had. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was more of a softer person. And Umar radiallahu anhu was a person who had a strong nature, right? He was a person that people, they're both very important. To have a soft nature at times is very important, but at the same time to have a strong nature is very important as well. And they both come in handy. Umar radiallahu anhu, he was known to be Ashraful Quraysh. That Quraysh were one of the most respected clans, tribes in Makkah, right? There were a lot of tribes. And something that really stood out within Arabs in particular back then and even now was lineage, right? Family. There's a lot of importance to that. Like I said before as well, and even now. And that's why you'll find a lot of people, especially amongst Arabs, who boast about which lineage or which family they belong to. Right? This is something that they give a lot of importance to, and they would die for that if they had to. So Umar radiallahu anhu belonged to the Quraysh tribe, the same where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was from. And he was considered one of the greatest people amongst them, one of the greatest personalities amongst the Quraysh. When it came to, and I mentioned this in Jummah as well, that when it came to solving problems amongst Quraysh, when it came to dealing with others, Quraysh and others, when it was a matter and where things were very delicate, they would use Umar radiallahu anhu as an ambassador, as a person to talk, as an arbitrator between Quraysh and the other party. Because he was very educated. He was very educated, and at the same time, he was able to speak in a very, very influential way. And where the other person, they would not only listen to what he had to say, but he would have an impact on the other person or on those people. So he was, you could say, born leader, right? In the sense that, you know, they used to put him in the forefront most of the time. Even though he was very young, from a very young age. You know, and I mentioned this in Jummah for those of us who weren't there, that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam became prophet, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him, you know, with prophethood, how old was he at that time? The younger ones. He was 40 years old. But how old was Umar radiallahu anhu at that time? 27. I think you were there for Jummah. Okay. So he was 20. He was 13 years younger than the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But obviously we know that he didn't embrace Islam right away. After how many years? Not the ones who came for Jummah. You were there for Jummah as well. After 6 years, that's when Umar radiallahu anhu accepted Islam. Right? But before that, like I said, he used to always be put in the forefront as a leader. Right? By nature, he was that type of person. However, when he did accept Islam, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he elevated his status, and he was not just a sahabi. You know, when we say a sahabi, we're not putting other sahaba down. Remember one thing. Because sahaba are already on one level that no one can reach. Right? Even, no matter how much you try to become like a sahabi, you know, a person, he can sit down and he can, you know, worship Allah rest of his life. And he can do all good and never do any evil. But yet he can never reach the level of a sahabi. Right? The companions radiallahu anhum ajma'in were chosen people. Just the way how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a chosen person. Right? The people who are going to be around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they were also chosen people. So no matter how much a person tries, he can't. Right? Because one of the conditions of sahabi is, what when we say sahabi, how would we define a sahabi? What would we say? You know, let's ask the younger ones. Okay. Right? One of the conditions is seeing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's number one. What's the other thing? Embracing Islam. And the third, anyone? Right. You remember what I taught them in class. Alhamdulillah. Right? Three things that defines a sahabi. Number one, who witnessed, who saw the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, even for a moment. That's number one. Number two, that they embraced Islam, they took faith during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, because there were people who witnessed the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, but they weren't sahaba, right? Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, these people, they saw the Prophet alayhi salam, but they didn't embrace Islam. And the third important point is that they also died in the state of Iman in Islam. Right? So when we define who is a sahabi, these are the three things. Right? Seeing the Prophet alayhi salam, embracing Islam, and dying in the state of Iman as well. Because there were certain people, unfortunately, who saw the Prophet alayhi salam and who claimed to have Iman, but in reality they didn't really have Iman. And when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he passed away, and or whenever they got an opportunity, they turned away from the faith. So there were people like that as well. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he was already on one, you know, he was already amongst the sahaba. So when we say sahaba, they're already on one level that no one can reach. Right? You can't get to that level. But now amongst the sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, he was one of the scholars, the ulama of Sahaba. You know, like I said, Sahaba, they're all very great. But to be a scholar amongst the Sahaba, that is a great honor. You know, it's just like, for example, in this room, if everyone was a hafiz, everyone memorized Quran, and everyone was able to recite Quran very well, right? Everyone is able to recite Quran very well, and everyone was a qari. But now, it's time for salah, and one of the person goes up and he leads the prayer, right? Everyone is in the same boat. Everyone is in the same, level. But that person who goes up and stands on the musalla, he will stand on in front of others, right? So similarly, Umar radiallahu anhu, he was amongst the Sahaba, but he stood out. He was amongst those who are considered to be a scholar amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. There were only a handful of Sahaba who are like that, right? And he was one of them. As far as narrating hadith is concerned, you won't find too many hadith narrated by Umar radiallahu anhu, but you'll still find approximately over 550 hadith narrated by Umar radiallahu anhu. But if you compare that to, you know, some Sahaba who mentioned, who narrated the most hadith, who narrated the most hadith amongst Sahaba radiallahu anhu majman? Yes?
Hazrat Aisha?
No. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Right? Now the amazing thing about, inshallah, we'll talk about Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu some other time, but something amazing about Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that you know, he narrated the most ahadith, that he was amongst those Sahaba who spent the least amount of time with the Prophet alayhi salam. He only got three and a half years with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam. That's it. And he was able to learn the most ahadith and narrate the most ahadith. Subhanallah. That tells us that, you know, there's, you know, it's never too late to acquire knowledge. You know, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu could have thought, look, I embrace Islam, and obviously he didn't know how long the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was going to live for. But if he just thought about it, then, you know, I have all these other sahaba, and you know, they're so great, I can't reach their level, and I can't get to their standards, and I can't get to their level. And if he thought like that, then he wouldn't have progressed. But rather, he kept on learning. And he himself, he says, that I used to sit in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam all the time. He was amongst the Ashabi Sufa, those sahaba who were dedicated their life to learn the knowledge of deen, right? The Ashabi Sufa were known to be those sahaba, obviously all of them were students, but specific people who took out their time from their life and dedicated a portion of their life just to learn about Islam, right? 3.5 years, he mentioned over 3,500 hadith, over 3,500 hadith, narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu was also amongst the Ashr-e Mubashara. Who are the Ashr-e Mubashara? Right? Let's get the young ones, inshallah. Ashr-e Mubashara. Right. 10 Sahaba who were guaranteed Jannah by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? All of the Sahaba, they're all, inshallah, in Jannah. But these 10 Sahaba, again, they stood out. Why? Because they were guaranteed Jannah in this world by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they had the stamp of approval. That, you know, they had that ticket. You know the ticket that we think that we have? Think we have? Then inshallah, you know, we have that ticket and we're going to Jannah because of our deeds and mashallah, we're so great. They actually had that ticket. But the amazing thing about them is that they carried that ticket in their pocket, but they never felt they had that ticket. The funny thing about us is that we really don't have that ticket, but we pretend we have that ticket. There's a big difference between us and them. So he was amongst the Ashr-e Mubashara, right? 10 people who are guaranteed Jannah by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this world, right? And there were 10 Sahaba like that. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, let's see if we can go through all 10. It's very important to know the Ashr-e Mubashara. Yes. Okay, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu, right? Uthman radiallahu anhu, Ali radiallahu anhu. I give you a head start. Everyone knows those four. Now let's see who knows the rest of the six. Abdurrahman bin Auf. Sa'd ibn Waqas.
Ibn Mas'ud.
Zubair bin Awam, mashallah. Okay. Sa'id ibn Jubair. Okay. Sa'd, right? Sa'd radiallahu anhu, one more. Talha radiallahu anhu. Right? So these are the 10 Sahaba who are guaranteed Jannah by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this world. Okay? Once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was sitting in the garden of one Ansari Sahabi. Ansari Sahabi, when you say Ansari, what does that mean? Right? The ones who lived in Medina Munawwara. Right? There were two groups of Sahaba, the Muhajirin and the Ansar. So Muhajirin were the ones who migrated from Mecca to Medina. And the Ansar were the... Ansar are called... When we do the translation of Ansar, what do we do the translation of? Like, what does the word Ansar mean?
Helpers.
Helper, right? Helpers. What's the root word of that? The ones who are, who's learning Arabic here? Nasara, right? Nasara and Ansar. So Ansar, the ones who are helpers. So Ansar were those who already in Medina and they helped the Muhajirin. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, obviously this tells us this was an incident that took place in Medina because he was sitting in the garden of a Ansari Sahabi. And the hadith is mentioned in Bukhari and Muslim, right? Imam Bukhari and Muslim, they both mention this. This is just a piece of information just for us that, you know, when we say, you know, if you find a hadith that Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim, they both agree on, and that hadith is narrated in Bukhari and Muslim, there is a word for that. Muttafaqun alayh. Right? Muttafaqun alayh means agreed upon. You'll find usually the translation of agreed upon in the books of hadith which are translated. So when we say agreed upon, that means Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim have agreed on this, and both of them have mentioned this hadith in there. And their respective books. So anyways, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was sitting in the Sahabi's garden, Ansari Sahabi, and you know, he was just relaxing, and he took off his shoes, and there was a well in the garden, so he decided just to, you know, relax by the well, by the water, and there was some wind, so he was just relaxing over there. And he told the Ansari Sahabi that make sure that no one comes, no one comes inside. And if someone does, just ask who it is. So Ansari Sahabi, you know, he obviously took out the orders of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam was just relaxing. And after some time, someone knocked on the door. So the Ansari Sahabi, he said, "Who is it?" So the voice from the behind the door was, "It's Abu Bakr." So the Sahabi went to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, "It's Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu." So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he told that Sahabi that grant Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu permission to come inside and give him the glad tidings of Jannah. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came inside. And then he sat by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, which is amazing about him, you know, just tells us a form of respect that, you know, he saw the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he was, you know, relaxing, he had his shoes off, he was sitting by the well, he was just leaning comfortably. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he saw the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he did exactly the same thing. Because if he didn't do that, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam would have felt a little uncomfortable. So he took off his shoes and he also did that. Normally he wouldn't do something like that out of respect. But he did that so the Prophet ﷺ would not have felt uncomfortable. After some time, another knock on the door. And the Ansari Sahabi asked, "Who is it?" And this time the voice is, "It's Umar." So again Rasulullah ﷺ, he told the Sahabi, give him permission, let him come inside, and also give him the glad tidings of Jannah. And Umar radiallahu anhu came inside. And when he saw Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he saw the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he did exactly the same thing. Right? After some time, Uthman radiallahu anhu knocked on the door. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam gave him permission, also gave him glad tidings. And now, subhanAllah, when Uthman radiallahu anhu came, because of his haya, his nature of modesty, even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt that I shouldn't sit like this in front of Uthman radiallahu anhu. So then the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam sat up, and then when he sat up properly, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, obviously Umar radiallahu anhu followed. Right? So the fact of getting the glad tidings of Jannah, they are mentioned in various ahadith to, you know, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions in the hadith, and hadith, again, this hadith is recorded in Nasai, where the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, he said, that لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ مُحَدَّثٍ لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ مُحَدَّثٍ, that for every nation, there is a certain individual who is known to be a muhaddath, right? One is muhaddith, and one is muhaddath. Sometimes just the dhamma, fatha, kasra can change the entire meaning, right? What is a muhaddith? A person who narrates hadith, right? Who narrates an abundance of hadith is known as a muhaddith, right? In fact, they have given that as a specific title to those who have dedicated their life to learning and teaching hadith and memorizing hadith. So Imam Bukhari rahimullah, for example, is a muhaddith, right? Imam Nasa'i is a muhaddith, Imam Ibn Majah is a muhaddith. So that's who a muhaddith is. But muhaddath is that person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has never ever put anything wrong on that person's tongue, and whatever he utters is true and right. Right? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that specific muhaddath in my ummah is Umar radiallahu anhu. That whatever he utters, whatever comes out from his tongue, can only be right and haq, it can never be wrong. He can never be wrong. Right? Whatever he says, whatever judgment he makes, whatever it is, he is the muhaddath of this ummah. He can never be wrong. Similarly, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in another hadith, right, in regards to this, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَعَلَ حَقْ عَلَى لِسَانِ عُمَرٍ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put the truth on the tongue of Umar radiallahu anhu. Right? He can never do anything or say anything which will be wrong or against the commandments of Allah or the Messenger of alayhi salatu wasalam. And one point I mentioned in Jummah, that Umar radiallahu anhu, as the scholars, they explain regarding Umar radiallahu anhu, they say that, you know, Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in in general, they were muridun nabi, right? And Umar radiallahu anhu was that only specific companion who was muradun nabi. What does it mean? That muridun nabi means those people who actually embraced Islam and they came into Islam, right? They were impressed by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam via his character, the type of person he was, his sublime character, or they were impressed through Quran, or they got hidayah through Quran. So it could have been, or through a family member, it could be through various different ways. But the Sahaba, they all came into Islam. But Umar radiallahu anhu was the only Sahabi who was known to be Muradun Nabi. That rather him coming into Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually wanted him to come, and he actually made dua for him. Oh Allah, strengthen Islam. Allahumma a'izzal Islam. Oh Allah, strengthen Islam. And at that time, when the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam raised his hands and he supplicated, he mentioned two people's names. One was Umar and one was? Right? Abu Jahl. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's supplication, his dua, was accepted in the favor of Umar radiallahu anhu. Never do you find the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam raising his hands for someone else to accept Islam. Obviously, he loved it when people were coming to the faith. But never did he make a specific supplication for a specific person. Oh Allah, I want this person to embrace Islam, except for Umar radiallahu anhu. So he was given the title Muradun Nabi. He himself, he says, Umar radiallahu anhu, he says that, you know, before me accepting Islam, before I accepted Islam, and I mentioned this in Jummah, a couple of points which I mentioned in Jummah, he says that before I embraced the faith, I was into all different types of vice. I was into every type of haram that a person can think and imagine, right? I was into alcohol, I was into gambling, I was into idol worshipping. In fact, Umar radiallahu anhu himself, he says that not did I only worship idols, rather I worshipped idols that I created with my own hands. I created them with my own hands and I used to worship those idols. So this was the type of person he was. And he used to use that anger that he had and that fear, his personality, he used to use that to his advantage. And people, and he used to misuse that, right? In many different ways. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, this was the type of person that I was. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he raised my status by giving me the ability of embracing the faith and embracing Islam, right? And I'm just going to mention, and I'm sure we already know the story of how Umar radiallahu anhu, how he accepted Islam. But the fact is, there's a couple of lessons, inshallah, I want to mention after, we mentioned this particular incident. So, Umar radiallahu anhu, he says, right, like I said, that the worst thing for me prior to embracing Islam was to hear the word Islam, to hear the word Muslim, and the thing that really got me upset was when I heard the name Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I could not bear hearing the word Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says that, you know, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was sitting by the Kaaba, and Abu Jahl came and he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was performing salah. Abu Jahl came and he saw the Prophet alayhi salam, and out of anger he started to hit the Prophet alayhi salam. He started beating the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not have enough strength to retaliate, because Abu Jahl was one of the leaders of Mecca and he could not do much. So he just took the beating, Abu Jahl, he left. However, this news spread within Mecca that, look, this is what Abu Jahl did, even though Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't do anything. Now, Hamza radiallahu anhu, who was one of the uncles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he heard about what happened and he came rushing to his nephew. And he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was all bruised, sitting by the Kaaba, and he asked, who did this to you? And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he replied, it was Abu Jahl. So Hamza radiallahu anhu, he was enraged. And remember, Hamza radiallahu anhu was also one of the leaders of Makkah, right? So he said that, how dare he touch my nephew when I am also one of the leaders of Makkah? How could he raise his hand on my nephew? So Hamza radiallahu anhu, he went to look for Abu Jahl. As he was about to leave, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he grabbed his hand. He said, oh uncle, please don't go after him. Please don't go after him. Because if you are going to go after him, and you're going to also hit him, then what is the difference between you and him? There is no difference. He did the same. He did what he had to do to me. And if you do that to him, there is no difference between you and him. Uncle, don't do that. So Hamza radiallahu anhu insisted. And he said, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at that time he did not embrace Islam. He said, wouldn't you love it that I take revenge on the person who hit you? And the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, he said, no, this is not what I would love. This is not what I would like. Rather, I would like it that you let him go. Let him go and do whatever he wants to do, and you come and accept the faith of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, embrace the faith of Islam. And at that time, Hamza radiallahu anhu, he took the shahada, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Now when Hamza radiallahu anhu embraced Islam, this was a big drawback again to the people of Mecca, because, you know, one of the leaders embracing Islam, this was very huge. Big news that spread all over. Now Umar radiallahu anhu, he says that, you know, this increased my anger for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even more. And this, you know, I was just so angry that I had to do something. He says, I would hear the old, you know, the elderly people in our community talking about, you know, this problem, that we need to eliminate this problem. We need to do something about Islam. We need to do something about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But people would just talk, no one would do anything. No one had the courage to raise their hand on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because he was also from Quraysh. Like I said, you know, tribe, family was something that was very big. And they knew that if they did something to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Quraysh, the other people from the family, they would retaliate. And they were very scared of doing something like that. They wanted to, but they couldn't. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he says, you know, after this incident that took place, this made me so determined that one day, you know, I was sitting in the meeting and we were having a meeting about, and the discussion was about how to, you know, remove or get rid of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. This was the discussion and people were talking and giving their opinions. I was so upset that I got up. I took all of my armor, I took everything that I had, and I stood up and I told everyone that, you know, I'm going to the house of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I have made a firm promise to myself that whatever happens, either I will stay alive and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is no more, or vice versa. Both of us cannot be living at the same time anymore. He made that determination. Umar radiallahu anhu, he started as his way to the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He met a sahabi over there. And he asked that the sahabi asked him that, Umar, where are you going? Obviously he could see the rage on Umar radiallahu anhu's face. He was so upset. And you know, even when he was not upset, people feared him. So you can imagine when he was upset, you know, no one just make sure no one comes in his way. So the sahabi, he asked, where are you going? So he says, I'm going to the house of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to assassinate him, na'udhu billah. So the sahabi, he says that, you know, before going there, you should check with your family. Check with your family. Because your brother-in-law and your sister, they have accepted Islam as well. So he said, oh, is that true? He said, yes, that's true. And right away he changed his direction from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam's house and he started making his way towards his sister's house. Umar radiallahu anhu, he himself, he narrates his own incident. He says that as I made my way to the house of my sister, I could hear someone inside talking about, and you know, I could hear the recitation of Quran being recited in my sister's house. It was Khabbab radiallahu anhu, who was teaching his brother-in-law and teaching, you know, his sister Fatima radiallahu anha, the, you know, Quran. Umar radiallahu anhu, he banged on the door. He banged on the door. And as he banged on the door, you know, the sahabi who was inside teaching Quran, you know, he knew who it was. It was Umar. So he had hid in the closet. He went inside the closet. And the sister opened the door. And then he was so upset. You know, he said, what were you people doing? What were you guys doing? So he said, nothing, we weren't doing. So he said, no, I could hear that you were, you know, I could hear the ayahs of Quran. And I have been told that you have embraced the faith and you have accepted Islam. Is that true? Is that true? And before she could say anything, he started to hit his own sister. He started to hit his own sister. And he hit her so hard, he hit his brother-in-law, he beat his brother-in-law, and he also beat his sister. And he beat her so much that she started to bleed. She said to him that, you know, Umar, you can do whatever you want. You can beat us as much as you want. You can hit us as much as you want, but we are never going to turn away from what we have accepted. We will never turn away from what we have accepted. Either you appreciate how we are, or you can leave us. We're not going to change because of you. And if you're going to kill us, then you kill us. We're not going to change our faith. Umar radiallahu anhu, when he saw, you know, his brother-in-law beaten up, he saw sister bleeding, his anger kind of cooled off, kind of calmed down. So he said to his sister, what were you reciting? He saw the pages of Quran. And he went to go touch it, pick it up. And right away his sister stopped him. Said, no, you can't touch these. You can't touch these pages. You're unclean. You need to clean yourself. You need to purify yourself. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he went, he took a shower. He came back. And subhanAllah, he picked up the verses of Quran. And those verses were? Surah Taha. Right? And he started reciting in the beginning ayahs of Surah Taha. طه ما أنزلنا عليك القرآن لتشقى إلا تذكرة لمن. And he kept on going and he kept on reciting. He recited that entire page. By the time he was done reciting that page, he was a different person. He just changed. He was transformed into someone else. Before he was something else, but he turned into someone else now. Right? He just totally changed. And as he finished reciting the page, that specific page, he had tears in his eyes. And he says, I have never, ever read something like this before. Yes, there were some incidents and where, before accepting Islam, Umar radiallahu anhu, he heard ayahs of Quran. And he was, you know, he was mesmerized. And he was affected by the verses of Quran. But it never really penetrated inside his heart. And this is, you know, this is what we call hidayah. That Allah gives guidance to whoever He wishes. And some people, He doesn't give guidance. Even though they know that this is true. You know, you'll find Umayyah bin Khalaf, who did not embrace the faith. You'll find people like Abu Lahab, who would, you know what they would do? They would secretly hide behind a tree or a wall and listen to the verses of Quran when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be reciting Quran at the time of Tahajjud Salah. They would listen to it. They would wake up in the morning just so they can hear the recitation. Subhanallah, they went to that extent. But iman did not penetrate in their hearts. Umar radiallahu anhu, he also heard Quran many times. And he was affected by it. And he even says that, you know, there were times when I thought, you know, maybe let me look into Islam. You know, it looks like a good religion. It looks like something that is amazing. The Quran is just amazing. Right? And he thought of doing that. But he never came to, you know, his senses that this is something that I should do. Just like us. Right? So many times, you know, we attend a lecture, we attend a gathering, and then, you know, and after that we feel like changing. Right? We make a determination that tomorrow I'm going to start performing my salah. You know, tomorrow I'm going to let go of this evil, I'm going to do this. But we may do it for a day or two, and after that, again we go back to our same old habits. So anyways, Umar radiallahu anhu, he thought of embracing Islam before, it never really penetrated. But now, when he actually picked up the ayahs of Quran and he started to recite, every ayah that he was reciting, his heart started to open up towards Islam. And when he was done reciting, he told his sister and brother-in-law that, where can I find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Where can I find him? Right? So they said, you know, they try to stop him. Said, you shouldn't go right now. Umar radiallahu anhu says, no, I need to go. I want to go. I want to see who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is. I want to see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I want to talk to him. I want to learn more about Islam. And that's when Khabbab radiallahu anhu, who was hiding in the closet this whole time, he comes out. And he was very happy. Why? Because Khabbab radiallahu anhu, he said, that glad tidings for you, Umar, that last night, just last night, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made dua, O Allah, strengthen Islam by either Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu anhu or Amr bin al-Jahl or Abu Jahl, Amr bin Hisham, Abu Jahl. Either one of these two people should embrace Islam, should take the faith, because so that Islam can get strength. Umar radiallahu anhu, he had tears in his eyes, and Khabbab radiallahu anhu, he took Umar radiallahu anhu to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Umar radiallahu anhu, he came by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were some sahaba who were sitting by the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. And when they saw Umar radiallahu anhu coming, they all got up. Say, okay, you know, there's trouble over here. So they all got up to protect the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala miraculously already informed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that obviously that Umar radiallahu anhu was coming. Obviously, think about it. If the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to raise his hands and he's going to supplicate, you think that dua is going to be rejected? Obviously not. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he saw Umar radiallahu anhu next day, he knew what this is all about. So he told Sahaba, sit down, don't worry. He said, if he's here for some ill intention, I will take care of him. Don't worry about it. So he instructed Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in to sit down. Umar radiallahu anhu came, and he came and he sat right in front of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Right in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, you know, he looked at him and he said, Umar, why are you here? In a very stern way. Now amazingly, you know, subhanAllah, he wasn't that type of person. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, if you read about him, he was a very soft person. But he did that just to show Umar radiallahu anhu that he can be like that as well. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was stern. And he said, Umar, why are you here? And Umar radiallahu anhu just looked at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He couldn't believe that this is who the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam was. He says, this was a time when actually I had fear in my heart. Never ever in my life was I ever scared of anyone. But this was the first time when I was scared of someone. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, why are you here? And he couldn't even respond. He couldn't even respond. So Rasulullah sallallahu, he himself, he says, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam grabbed me. He grabbed me by my collar. And he grabbed me. SubhanAllah. And he said, Umar, why are you here? What is it that you want? He's speechless. He can't say anything. Umar, if you don't know what to say, say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Umar, say Ashhadu an la. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam grabbed me again and he brought me closer and I said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And he embraced Islam. Sahaba radiallahu anhu, man, you can imagine how happy they were when Umar radiallahu anhu accepted Islam. In fact, you know, there's a hadith in Ibn Hibban where Rasulullah, you know, Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, they say that when Umar radiallahu anhu embraced Islam, and obviously Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, they were, you know, so happy and they were rejoicing. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam and he told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, استبشر أهل السماء بإسلامة عمر. That subhanAllah, that not only are the people on this earth rejoicing on the fact that Umar radiallahu anhu has accepted Islam, but also the ones in the heavens, they're also rejoicing on the embracing of Islam of Umar radiallahu anhu. Right? So he was a great asset to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why one scholar, he says about Umar radiallahu anhu, that you know, you know, during his 12 years of khilafah, inshallah we'll talk about that in our next session, we don't have much time now, but you know, the 12 years that he ruled, he was able to conquer approximately half the world. And if he had another 12 years, then he was able to conquer the entire world. And he says that if there were a duplicate of Umar, then there would not be a single person in this world who would not have to say, who would not say La ilaha illallah. He was that type of person. He was a person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed with a vision, with goals. He wasn't just a person that would wake up in the morning and say, okay, what do I have to do today? He had his life set. He had his goals in place. Right? If there's anything that we can learn from Umar radiallahu anhu's life, it is number one, is that he was a person of a vision. You know, he would think about the future. And I'm mentioning this especially to our youth, that, you know, take lessons from Umar radiallahu anhu. He was a person of vision. He had everything, he had his priorities set. He knew exactly what he would have to do for the next day, not only for the next day, for the next week, for the next month, for the next year. He had everything set. You know, he was not, like I said, he was a very educated person. Right? He was a very successful businessman. Very successful businessman. But at the same time, right, he had this vision. The vision that Umar radiallahu anhu had was, when he embraced Islam, is how can I help Islam now? How can I help Islam? If the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has made dua for me to embrace Islam, then there must be some reason. I need to find what that is. And he worked on that. And subhanAllah, the anger and the nature of him being strict that Umar radiallahu anhu had, you know, amazingly, when he embraced Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not reduce his nature, did not change his nature. Because he knew that the nature cannot be changed. Nature cannot be changed, right? No matter how much you try, you can't change it. So what did the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam do? He molded the nature. That subhanAllah, before embracing Islam, you know, he was a person that everyone feared. Everyone feared because of his vice, because of his anger, because of his temperament, and because of the evil that he would do. But when he embraced the faith, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam molded him in such a way that people feared him because of his taqwa. SubhanAllah, look how the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam molded him. They feared him because of his taqwa. They feared him because his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was totally different. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says regarding Umar radiallahu anhu, and I'll just mention a few points, and inshallah we'll continue on with this next week, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that inna shaytana la yakhafu min Umar, that even shaytan is scared of Umar. That subhanAllah, that the fear that he, you know, that people had, now enemies who are against Islam, they had fear against Umar radiallahu anhu. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did not eliminate the quality that he had, rather he used that to his advantage. In fact, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he mentions in another hadith of Ibn Majah that subhanAllah, the road that Umar radiallahu anhu, he chooses to take, the road, not the street or the alley, the road that Umar radiallahu anhu chooses to take, and he walks on that, shaitan does not even come close to that alley. Forget that street. He's scared of that street. This was the type of person he was, right? Like I said, he was a person of vision. He was a person who was able to make an impact on others. The second thing that we learn is that he was a person, like I said, he was able to change people. He was able to have an impact. When he would go in a gathering, people will be affected by him, rather him being affected by others. Right? And this is something that is extremely important for all of us today. Right? Regardless if you're old or if you're young. Right? We need to be people where we can walk into a gathering and people will be affected by our good character, by our nature of Islam. Right? This is what we learn from Umar radiallahu anhu. Huzaifa bin al-Yaman, you know, we read all these things about Umar radiallahu anhu. The last thing I want to share with you is that, you know, since he was so close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his level of taqwa, inshallah, we're going to go in it a little bit more detail. But, like I said, he had an impact and he had an effect on people. This was the type of person he was. We still have, alhamdulillah, one person in our institute where I studied in Buffalo. He's still with this institute and he's been there from day one for the last 25 years. 25 years. This person, he came to visit Buffalo and he decided to move there and he wanted to work. He wasn't a scholar or a hafiz, so he went and he went to the people there and he asked them that, you know, tell me, what is it that I can do to help out the institute? So they said that, you know, for you, you'll be like a maintenance person and you'll take out the garbage, you'll clean the masjid, clean the washrooms, do laundry, and this is the type of, job that we have available for you. Now this man, now listen to this, very interesting. This man, he lived in Hamilton, here in Canada. And he was, he worked for this company, for this cheese company in Hamilton. And he was the manager of that company, very big company. When he went, and this was the job offer, he didn't look down upon it. Rather, the thing that changed his mind of not going there was, the area around this institute. Because the institute, even for those of us who have been there, you probably noticed that the institute is in a downtown area. It's a very remote area where there is no, it's very rundown area. It's a very rundown area. The houses are broken. You'll find windows which are broken. What we call, in the slang, the youth know, ghetto, right? It's very ghetto. You'll find shoes are hanging on the telephone wires. You'll find graffiti on the wall. You'll find, you could hear gunshots. And this is subhanAllah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose for hundreds of, students to graduate as huffaz and scholars. Right? This was the place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't look at the area. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just looks at ikhlas. And this is the place. No, subhanAllah, out of all of North America, this was the place that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose. A place like that. And just to give you an understanding of what type of place, a little bit more detail, is that, just a few. There was a brother who came from New York. He came to visit the institute. I know the pizza is here, so just bear with me 5 minutes. 5 minutes, right? And he came from New York, and he came to visit the institute. He prayed Isha Salah, and then he stayed overnight. He had a very nice SUV, very nice, one of those GMC Suburban type SUVs, Yukon I think it was. And he had these nice 22-inch rims, right, on his SUV. In the morning when he woke up, his SUV was on bricks. Tires gone. Tires were gone. Rims were gone. Right? And this, I'm just getting a few incidents of how, where, and what type of institute, and not what type of institute, but the surroundings of the institute, and how I'm going to relate this to Umar radiallahu anhu. We had a house, I had a house there myself, that we purchased 2 weeks, okay, we bought it just 2 weeks ago, not 2 weeks ago, but at that time, right? We bought it, and after 2 weeks, we came to Canada, as my parents, they live in Canada, so we used to come visit quite often to Canada. We came, we spent the weekend here, and went back on Sunday, and it's very important that you check your house there very closely, because there's a lot of break-ins, and if the house is abandoned, if it's closed for more than a month, you'll see it's in flames. So we just came for the weekend, and then as we came back, we just went around the house, because it was a house we just bought, no one was living in it. And we noticed the garage door was missing. The garage door was missing. So myself and my brothers, we started blaming each other. Why didn't you close the garage door? You should have closed it. You should have checked. But when we actually went there, the garage door wasn't just not closed. It was gone. It was gone. And then when we went inside the house, right, all of the copper piping, gone. Luckily, alhamdulillah, they turn off the tap, the water before doing that, but all the copper was gone. There was a person who, what he would do is, you know how we have, in Ontario, we have the license plates, and you have the sticker in the corner, right? The February 2015, whatever, you buy that sticker for, what, $90, $95? I think it's $98 now, right? So, in New York State, the sticker is inside the windshield, in the middle. It's inside the windshield. So there was this one person, what he would do was, at nighttime, he would break the windshields, take the sticker, and the next day he would sell it back to you. And he would tell you that, you know, if you go to DMV, if you go to, you know, the driver's place and you try to get it from there, they're going to charge you $35. I'll give it to you for $25. So just to give you an understanding of, you know, so when this person, Brother Rafi, he came and he saw that this was, and this, you know, alhamdulillah, now it's much better. But before it was really, really, really bad. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose a place like that, you know, for so many scholars to be produced in Huffaz, right? Just on top of my head, I know that there's at least 400 students who have graduated as Huffaz from there, Hafiz. And there's at least 200 ulama who have graduated, and at least 100 muftis who have graduated from that institute. Right? So anyways, when he saw that this is the type of place, and obviously he lived in Hamilton, more decent, and compared to Buffalo, you know, so run down, then he thought, I can't go to Buffalo, it's too hard. You know, and we had teachers like that, who came from Toronto, they went there, they didn't stay more than 24 hours, and they had to come back, they couldn't stay there, you know. So anyways, Brother Rafiq, he came back, and, you know, he called the institute, he called the Darul Uloom, and he said that, sorry, you know, I can't move to Buffalo, it's very difficult for me. That same night, now Brother Rafiq, his nature, you know, he's also very, you know, he has a lot of jalal, a lot of temper, right? And he's one of those people that you can't mess with. Anyways, that night, he went to sleep, and he saw Umar radiallahu anhu in his dream. Right? And Umar radiallahu anhu, he said to him, that Rafiq, do you think that, you know, Islam just came up like that and we didn't have to go through any difficulties? We didn't have to go through any hardships for Islam? We had to go through a lot of difficulties. And the you know, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, the status that Allah has given us, is not because that we just embrace the faith and that's it. It was because of the struggle that we had to go through. And the next day, Brother Rafiq, he came and he moved to Darul Uloom. And he said, I want to stay here. And from that time, from day one, for the last 25 years, you know, you look at this man. You know, I've seen him as a child. I've seen this man as a child. He works day in and day out. Day in and day out. He's now a grandfather. He's now a grandfather, but you'll still see him, you know, him and his wife washing clothes for the students, doing the laundry, taking out the garbage, cleaning this, cleaning that, and he's still doing it. And you ask him, Brother Rafiq, but what keeps on going? What makes you keep on going? And he said, it's that dream that I saw of Umar radiallahu anhu. I can never forget that. So subhanAllah, Umar radiallahu anhu did not only have an impact and an effect on those people at that time, but even today, people are affected and have an impact by Umar radiallahu anhu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability of inculcating some of these qualities that we have learned and these lessons that we have learned of Umar radiallahu anhu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the love of all the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'een. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of us to salat al-mustaqeem. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ونسائل المسلمين والمسلمات وآخر دعوان الحمد لله رب العالمين. Inshallah, we'll continue on with the session next week. Honestly, whatever we had done today, it's probably not even quarter of what I have actually prepared. So there's a lot, and inshallah, if we don't finish it next session, then inshallah, we'll continue on with it. With the session after, inshallah. If we won't have any question and answers today, inshallah, we'll keep that for next week. Jazakallah. Mm.